Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters.
Day 470.
How are we all doing? Wonder who got in first.
Simon.
Let's have a look. Oh, Simon, congratulations. D was second and Deb was third. Yay!
Actually, I was first.
You were, Mike.
Because I unlocked the door.
You did. You unlocked
anyway,
it.
Anyway, I've got a funny story.
What have you done?
I didn't do it. It wasn't me. I didn't do anything.
Notice that.
I was training SharePoint this afternoon. And I had about 20 people on the course, including a lady.
Really?
Who are called Stacey, who I've known for years and years and years and years.
Now it's all coming out.
And I also had our new trainer. And you know how you're meant to make them, you know, feel welcome and all that, the new trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, you try and impress them and so they go away thinking that they're not as good as
feeling
you.
Feeling inadequate.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Mike.
Yeah, I'd be pretty rubbish as a mentor, wouldn't I?
You're a bad boy.
Yeah. Anyway, this Stacey, she left herself off mute. Now, you can tell if someone's off mute because on their photo on Teams, you get a little blue circle appearing around their photo every time there's a noise from their microphone.
Yeah, like Zoom.
Yeah. So I'm yakking away and I hear this yawn. And it was Stacey. Now, because I've known her for years, I said, Stacey, if you go to yawn, please make yourself mute. I said, hopefully it's not by training, it was just a late night.
Ooh, and what did she say?
She said, sorry.
Are you embarrassing them?
Yeah, I embarrassed her.
Oh, do you know, I see that.
Because then the new trainer's thinking, is he really allowed to say that? Haven't you got to be all formal?
Well, preferably, you know, did you have to not nod off? I mean, if that was face to face, would they nod off?
Probably. You had somebody nod off once, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The afternoon session's a nightmare. If you're doing it at face-to-face training and it's like, well, either a day or longer, you've got a break in the morning, then you've got lunch, and then you've got a break in the afternoon. But you might as well make lunch as late as possible and make the break as early as possible because that session, people are just not with you. I don't know what they eat at lunchtime, but it's soporific, whatever it is. Oh, what can you do? Still can't shoot them, apparently. Oh, well. So let's catch up on what's going on here. Hello, Renee. Renee's in and Paul's in. Hello. Renee, you see how he's telling everybody how to cheat?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. No, no, no. We've got a big lock button.
Yeah.
Notice that was an evil giggle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, we have a lock button. And we'll have no cheating, thank you.
And I've got a webinar tomorrow, so it'll be locked till 5 past.
Simon's nodding off, but not because of us. Hello, Anthony.
Renee, how can it be a secret if you're telling everybody?
Exactly, you see, you could have kept that to yourself, but it's all right, without witted you. No, 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 it's going to get locked. Now, that'll make it fair for everybody. There we go. So Simon, have you been avoiding the cows today? Is that what's made you tired? Oh, you like soporific? I've got lots of words like that. Yes, totally evil. But you see, you're all trying to outwit either us or each other, and we're not having this. Level playing field, folks. Level playing field. Fair for everybody. and Dee'll never be anything other than innocent because it'll never be anything other than 1985, when we were all innocent. If everybody does it, it's not cheating. Oh, it is, Renee. It is. Oh, and I'm not having that. That's not cheating.
No.
It is.
No, that
it is.
Cheating.
Anyway, we're cutting that one off.
Kim's on the phone.
Do you know, a lot of people ring Kim. She's a popular lady,
she
isn't
is.
She? Yeah, nobody ever rings me.
Oh,
actually, no, somebody did yesterday.
Yeah, somebody rang me today.
But I didn't know the number, so they don't get answered.
Me too.
1985 is like morphine.
I've got more blocked numbers than friends.
Oh, definitely.
It's that sad.
I'll just block it. If I don't know the number, it's blocked. Block, 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 block. I have a blocking party. It's fine. Anyway, I saw this over the weekend, this link. And it's terrifying, this. This is all the Apple products. Apple have brought out a list of products that you're not to put near a pacemaker. Go have a look at that list. I mean, seriously, it's everything they flaming well make. Why bother? Like, don't put, and what we're talking here is the equipment near the pacemaker, not the pacemaker near the equipment, because that could just be leaning over it. But like, particularly the ones that I thought are likely to happen are the AirPods. Because if you think about men's shirts, they tend to have like a pocket on the left-hand side, don't they? Yours do and Chidge's do, because that's where Chidge put his raffle tickets, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Chidge had a white T-shirt and he got some pink raffle tickets and he put them in the top pocket and Nina forgot to check. She said it was his job and she was quite right. And he now has a pink T-shirt. So, yeah, don't put anything near any of the equipment. It doesn't, does it say how far away you have
my
to be?
My AirPods go in my trouser pocket.
That could be even more dangerous, Mike, but we won't go there. That'll be next week's medical missive from Apple. 1.5 centimetres, so don't put your phone in there either. But it was things like, you know, let me have a look, which was most ridiculous. An iMac or an Apple Pro display, like you're going to carry one around with you. I mean, not plugged in anyway, but it was everything that they make. Why not? I mean, I get the ones with magnets in and MagSafe accessories, but a Mac Mini? Is the magnets in a Mac Mini? And I wonder what had caused harm to what? Would it be the pacemaker that blew the Mac up or the Mac that blew the pacemaker up? Dangerous business, these pacemakers. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Hello, Tracy. Tracy is in the house. They ring you, but you don't answer since the ringer's off. Well, yeah, people do ring, but on occasion they leave a message and it's automated. You had a car accident. No, I didn't. Not in living. I've never had a car accident, touch wood. And the way it's going, I'll never be driving a car again. So I just can't be doing with it. If there's like somebody that you meet up with on WhatsApp, then if I put their number in, then there's a name next to it. And then I would know if it was them that was ringing. So if there is no name comes up with it, the odds are I don't know you. The odds are I don't know you.
I got one the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was an automated call.
You actually answered it, you mean?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't know it was automated if you hadn't.
No, it was an automated call and it said something about, we've caught you watching porn.
They're playing the odds on that one, be honest. Well, that must have been on your phone if they got your number.
Yeah, it was on my phone.
Oh, there you go then. But I know you better than that. It's 1985 and you're as pure as driven snow.
Yeah.
So I know I don't have to worry about it. Simon says, a bit like the local Chinese restaurant, say their food could contain almost anything. So if you have allergies, it might be best to go elsewhere. It's one way of dealing with it, eh, Simon? To prevent a lawsuit. Yes and no. I mean, you can't just put this out and then expect, you know, that's it. That's us covered. Because there'll be crafty lawyers working their way through it. Trust me. Crafty lawyers. I didn't actually read the... To avoid any potential interference with medical devices. Thing is, you can't put this out and put it on the website and assume that everybody's seen it. It would have to be in the paperwork in the box. And like I say, I can understand certain things, but not others. There's a question. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that this stuff doesn't cause problems? Is there anything that could be done in terms of insulation on the medical devices, or is it up to Apple? And I'm presuming iPhones hadn't been a problem until they all put the MagSafe stuff on them. It's quite scary though, isn't it? I mean, if you know what guys are like for joking. If one of the guys knew that one of the other guys had a pacemaker, all he's got to do to threaten him is, like, waft a phone at him. You know, and guys will be guys, won't they? You know, think Boris. Boris could do that with half the cabinet and, you know, live in hope.
See them off.
Mind you, having said that, half the cabinet could do that with Boris here and live in hope. I just think it's utterly ridiculous. You know, I mean, it says Apple Watch bands with magnets. It doesn't even say from Apple. So who are you supposed to sue? You know, was it the actual watch or was it the band? Just a nightmare situation, that nightmare. And you cannot assume that people have seen it. You have to do sufficient to draw it to their attention. And that usually means, with Kit, putting it in the box. That means, I mean, you know what's in Apple's boxes? It could put it on the back of the sticker, probably. Because there's not much in there. And it really, something like that should be in there, like yellow and red and flashing and saying, be careful, you know, warning. And Apple won't do that. Not in their boxes. They don't want to do that at all. But there you go. No more bench pressing stacks of Mac Minis then. Nope. No, you're going to have to leave them alone. Don't touch it. Oh, dear me. I can understand the Chinese restaurant up to a point, but it's just a matter of being careful. I mean, if you are... Some people have an allergy where it's the actual consumption of whatever it is. So, say, like gluten. But other people, it's actually just touching it. So they can't have something from a production line where there's been non-gluten food, gluten intolerance food created. So I get that. That's why there always says on it, you know, there's a minuscule chance. That way, you're right, you won't eat anything. But takeaways have been sued right and left over stuff like that. And if they made all their own food, then I could understand it. But they have to rely on the labels and the packaging that comes on the stuff that they use. And yet they're passing it on so they could be sued and it could actually have nothing to do with them. So it is a nightmare, I'll grant you. But that just tickled me. I expected things like the AirPods and the watch to some degree and the phone. It was the rest of it. It was like, do they actually make anything that's not on that list? Let's have a look. I'm thinking of something in particular now. iPads, HomePods. No, the AirTags aren't on there. Though apparently you can AirTag somebody. But surely that's just as bad as some of these other things that they have mentioned. I'd have a heart attack way before I got to like Beats at the price. Oh, do you know, Croatia had done so well in this match. They were 3-1 down and they pulled it back to 3-3 in injury time and now it's 5-3 to Spain. That was quite... I don't really... I'm ambivalent with both teams. But, you know, when you pull it back, you think, oh, they deserve a chance. Anyway, it's not over yet. There's another 15 minutes. But Spain have ramped it up a gear, which is most unfortunate. Oh, well. Right. Moving up a bit. So, it's probably electromagnetic waves. Makes you wonder about the rest of us. How much electromagnetic waves are we exposing ourselves to? Love the ones that we can help you with your student loans, but you don't have any student loans. Oh, did I miss that bit? I must have missed that bit. He's never done a bench press in a life. I saw a gym once. It was near the carpet shop. Oh, Renee's kiwi allergy. When you went for your second jab, they were very cautious. Ours aren't here. It's just like, oh, an arm bang. No, they're not cautious in the slightest. You meant wafting a phone by someone with a pacemaker. Do you know, there are idiots that will do that just to see, because they are that stupid. Oh, remember that book I was telling you about yesterday? The one I started reading. It is absolutely fabulous. It's the one about social warming, it's called, and how Facebook and Twitter have got us all scrapping with each other. And it's terrifying when you look at it in hindsight, because it's a bit like boiling a frog. You don't notice until it's boiling. You know, as things warm up, you just get used to it and get used to it and get used to it. And then it gets worse and worse and worse. And it really takes you to maybe go cold turkey for a bit and then come back and think, God, this is toxic. You should see my list of banned words on Twitter. I couldn't take it. It started with the Brexit thing. And it was just extremes, but both ends, you know, whichever way you want to vote, it was the extremes at both ends that were just appalling. Then there was the American presidential election. But this guy's got so many more examples. And you think, oh, yeah, I remember that. And it kind of subtly changed how we treat social. One figure he came out with, which again was utterly terrifying, that we scroll through Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever. I think it was 2 hours a day, 750 metres of content. And I thought, I think I'll uninstall Facebook. I like to think that I don't, but I think we all do if you use it at all, because you see something, you think, not interested, and you scroll, not interested, scroll. Oh, there's something from so-and-so, I'll have a look at that. Move back, scroll. And most of the scrolling is past stuff that you're not actually interested in. But as far as they're concerned, you've seen it. And they talked about this micro-profiling, which is even more terrifying. But I know they're complete idiots because they keep saying, your friend Mike Thomas posted. And I thought, you've known for the last 9 years we're engaged, but you keep saying my friend. So unless they know something I don't think they're bang on with it. But there you go. But it's a very, very good book. I can highly recommend that book. Oh, let's have a look. You root for the underdog if the team's not playing. I'm pretty much like that, I must admit. But I with these two, I don't care either way. But I just thought to take it back from 3-1 to 3-3, you're playing to win. And in the last 5 minutes, in the injury time, Spain were just wasting time. And they got caught out doing it. So I don't like teams that cheat. And, what, you know, if you are on the pitch, keep playing. All you got to do, go to the other end and try and score. It's simple. But they weren't. They were playing around with it, passing it, back passing it, kicking it out, and got caught. And it's most unfortunate now that they're actually two ahead again. Darn it. Oh, well. Is this 15 minutes yet? You never know. You never know. You could do that as a joke. You see, that's the point, Renee. Some people do. That's exactly what they do as a joke, and they find it funny. I think you'd find it less funny if you had a pacemaker and it did interfere with it. There was a guy at a church, he had a pacemaker. I didn't think he was that old for a pacemaker, but he had one anyway, and he had to be careful with other things that, you know, like you wouldn't even think about. But mobile phones wasn't something that they said to be careful with, but if it's the magnets part of it, then I get that. But how terrifying that somebody could come up to you and do that because they know you've got a pacemaker. It's like when somebody knows you're scared of something and then somebody comes up to you with it. So I went into the dentist and it was Halloween and they'd got the place done out. So there's spider's webs all over the place and a cauldron, you know, and the witch's hat and all these spiders in the spider's web. So I said to the receptionist, I said, it's a good job I'm not arachnophobic, isn't it? And she looked and she went, oh God, you think people might be? And I thought, yeah, I said, probably, but don't worry, they're probably more worried about coming to the dentist. They're probably not even going to notice the spiders on the wall. Their second big word of the day there, D, arachnophobic. I just thought, inappropriate at a dentist, as bad as going into like a doctor's and seeing the same. But some people find that kind of thing funny. So if it's like, oh, you know, there's spiders in here. I'll give you a good one. This actually happened at church and it was like, oh, my God, get rid of it. There's been a couple of things funny at church. One was this doll. Some child had obviously left this doll behind. Let's just say it wasn't the prettiest doll we've ever seen. Now, there was a film, and I think I've not seen this thing, but then that won't come as a total surprise. A film, I'm not sure if the film was called Chucky or if Chucky was a character in it, but it's a doll. It involves blue paint and a doll. I know that because of the James Bulger thing. And this doll, I have seen the doll. I've seen pictures of it, and it's not a pretty doll, is it? It's quite terrifying. But as a child, Rachel saw a doll that was terrifying. She still in her mid-30s can't look at dolls. Dolls freak her out. Well, we walked into church. We were doing the welcoming one week. And I looked at where the hymn books were, and there was this doll. And Mike picked it up and turned it over and went, oh, my God, that doll's terrifying. I said, get rid of it before Rachel sees it. Because she was always in early to sort out the piety shop. So, but some people, whereas we were like, get rid of it, you know, put it in the cupboard, put it in that box, get rid of it. Don't let Rachel see it. Other people are like, oh, don't like dolls. Oh, and, you know, they would think nothing of picking that up and making a performance of it. Making somebody else feel awkward. I've got no time for that myself. And you know, I always tend to be, if I can see something like that coming, then I'll try and be protective of the person involved. But some people think that's a rare old wheeze. And I just think it says more about them than the person who is phobic with whatever it is. But how awful for them to be like shown up in public, as it were, because that's the intent of it. And I don't understand it. That's just me. Right. Let's have a look. So it's funny because when you see people that you don't agree with in person, it can be civil and we can learn from each other. But whenever I see it online, people just stop being open, honest and respectful. The thing you need to have a discussion. That's exactly what this book's saying. You would love this book, Dee. That's exactly what it's saying. That people feel untouchable. And they actually made the point that Renee's just made, which is like people in cars, they feel untouchable and forget respect. It's like you're in your own little bubble and nothing will like impinge on your bubble. So you can be as rude as you like and there'll be no comeback. And then, to be honest, when there is comeback, you tend to find that somebody has done something either deliberately offensive or stupid, one or the other. Either way, you'll find that there's a percentage of people online who will support the person, even if it was grossly stupid, which is like on one level. But supporting somebody where it's grossly offensive is like, really? I remember the Robin Hood case. Do you remember the airport one, Mike? It was a good while ago.
Yeah, I think I do.
It was a lad who was trying to get... It involved Newcastle and Northern Ireland. And he was going one way or the other. And I think he was going from Newcastle to Northern Ireland to see his girlfriend. And the weather was bad. And he actually put on Twitter, if they close Robin Hood Airport again, I'll bomb the place or something like that. I mean, clearly it was a joke. I don't think he actually meant any offence. It was a joke. But I think on Twitter, you'd have to be quite careful saying things like that. Not because of the way you mean it, but because of the way people take it. The police got involved and he ended up in court. He lost his job for making what he said was a joke. And I thought, well, let's all learn from that. And, you know, there could have been a positive that came out of that. Instead of which... And people started supporting him by saying, I am Spartacus, and retweeting the tweet on the basis that the police couldn't possibly charge everybody. You know, and they were right, they couldn't. But it wasn't a learning moment, put it like that. And other things that have been said, one of the funniest that the outcome was hysterical. I think it was somebody who had something to say to a politician. It could have been Jess. What's the politician, Jess? I think she's from Birmingham, Yardley in Birmingham. Jess something. And she is always on the receiving end of just vitriol. It's Phillips. Vile. Is it Jess Phillips?
There is a Jess Phillips MP.
Let's have a look at her face. I don't know where if I saw
Birmingham, that. Yardley, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the one. Yeah, that's the one. She's always getting death threats, rape threats, you name it. So this TV programme decided to set her up. And this guy who kept doing it to her, and no matter what the police had to say, you know, he kept coming back. They found out who he was and where he lived. And they took her to where he lived and she caught him by the car. He said, hi. And he was absolutely poleaxed. And you're quite right. Without that shield of a keyboard or a car or something else, when he stood next to her, he did not literally know what to say. Another one that was a classic was Mary Beard. She is genius. This guy had been so rude about what she looked like. It really was vile what he had to say. Oh, here we go. Oh, he's clearly got a new toy to play with, hasn't he? Oh, yeah, yes.
Not as one of those before.
Sounds like a kid's toy.
I've got to say that, yeah.
No, that was real. That was a police car. Yeah. Going the other way. So that was really unusual. This guy was really vile. I mean, he was a youngish lad, maybe 19. But, you know, at 19, you are old enough to know not to use words like he used. I mean, they were vile words. And she took it all in good part. But she did kind of, I think, either retweet it or reply with, like, shall I send it on to your mother, basically? And he totally crumbled. He ended up meeting her. Cambridge way somewhere. He was at university, this idiot. And he ended up meeting her and he apologised most profusely. So that one was a learning moment. But, you know, upon what basis are people saying and doing things like that? You know, that's not what social media's for. It really isn't. But when you read this book, it's exactly what you guys are saying.
Yeah, Renee said it sounds like a toy.
That did sound like a toy. Oh, that's put brilliantly, Renee. An invisible wall they hide behind. Yeah, they do. And without exception, every one of them that was like found and then challenged, you know, it was like, oh, you live with your mum, do you? In the basement. And yes, they did. They're just keyboard warriors that don't have a life. But in this book, it pointed out that the first... We know there's like horrible stuff online, but it started with the trolls attacking pages for people who had died. So like memoriam pages and trying to goad the family and stuff. And long-term people who use like bulletin boards were coming back with the phrase, I'm sure we all know, don't feed the trolls. But I think, I mean, it's not good to feed the trolls on any level because you'll never win. What's that saying I like? Don't fight with a pig, isn't it? Don't fight with a pig. You'll both get dirty and the pig enjoys it. So just don't. So I block all sorts of stuff that I just don't want to see. But I can imagine if it's a memorial page, they're coming to you. You know, all you could do is take the memorial page down. And the thing is, you shouldn't have to. But I mean, I can't understand the mentality of anybody who would do that. But apparently that's the thing. I did not know that, but that's the thing. And that was how it started. And then after that, it got to the point of individuals scrapping with each other. But when you read this book and you understand how it happens, how the algorithm feeds you, the algorithm has no morality. It doesn't understand. So if you watch like one video about something, then it'll find 10 more. And that on YouTube, that's exactly how YouTube works. My YouTube's a bit weird. Because I watch all kinds of stuff and I don't subscribe to that much. So it makes a guess. And some of the stuff it comes up with is like, really? How to bake a cake? Yeah, I don't know why you picked that one. You know, there's some really weird stuff on there. It should be just wall-to-wall pandas. That would be good, but it's not. Maybe I need to subscribe to the panda videos. But it's very good because it explains the algorithm will see you watching one thing and then they'll show you more stuff like that. But then to hook you in, it'll show you the stuff like that that's more extreme and it will become more and more and more extreme because that's how the algorithm works. I like to think with Facebook, I go in, I see a post. Like I said to Mike tonight, did you see that post? He said no. So I got it out. I found the post. I wasn't looking at anything else while I was looking for that post. And once I found it, I handed him the iPad, said, there you go. He read the single post, gave it me back. And we turned it off. So I'm not mindlessly and endlessly scrolling. But having said that, you know, last night I did see that post and it wasn't one that I was looking for. And I was presented with it. Because it was from somebody that I follow. It wasn't my choice to see that particular post. So I'm of the opinion I don't really... I mean, there isn't a way to curate Facebook, really, is there?
No.
Is that him coming back the other way with the donuts? Could well be, you know. Depends if he's coming from the right or the left. Can you hear him? No, that's a van, and it's going in the other direction. You don't have to be mad to live here. But if you were deaf, it'd be very good. Oh, dear. Let's carry on with this anyway. It's the whole thing behind the trolling. People feel it's acceptable to say nasty things about celebrities online, but there's no way they'd say anything to that person's face. I don't think they would. I think you're right. But the way it's going, what if... I mean, what stops them saying it face-to-face? And it's like social niceties. But the way it's going, there won't be any social niceties. Somebody said this about kids. Obviously, during the pandemic, some kids were in, some were out. And they were in different classes and stuff like that. And this particular teacher said, right, take 10 minutes and talk to each other. And there were these four kids at a table, and two of them picked up a phone. And the other two just looked really awkward, that they didn't know what to say. So she said, no phones, talk to each other. And they honestly didn't know how to talk to each other. So if they've got no experience of talking to each other, how they behave online will become how they behave. Which is terrifying for the future, isn't it? What's that? Where's that just gone? Let's find that. Let's have a look. Ah, right. D is agreeing with Anthony. So am I, under an A. It's hard to find a platform like this where people are respectful always. Oh, we won't have it any other way, Renee. I mean, that's just not acceptable at all. But we've never really had a problem. I get some real snotty comments on YouTube, but I totally ignore them. I got a real snotty comment once on Twitter. And I thought, block. And I did just block this person. This is years ago. Gosh, 7-8 years ago. And it was obviously a public comment. It was an unnecessary comment. And I totally ignored it. So he never said anything else again. And I couldn't fathom, you know, what was the point of that? But apparently, well, a good year later, he said exactly, well, not exactly the same thing, but very close to the same thing to somebody else. And this somebody else replied. And I thought, maybe I should have replied. You know, like what, when your first reaction is, do you know what? You can shove that right where the sun doesn't shine. But then they say, no. The mature thing to do is to reply. And I thought, no, life's too short. So I just blocked him, deleted it. Well, I couldn't delete it. It was his thing. But I ignored it, totally ignored it. This person went back with a fully reasoned reply to his accusations. And he carried on and on, and it turned into a right slanging match. And I thought, did the right thing there, didn't I? Just ignoring it. But the thing was, it's like wrestling with pigs. They were in the dirt and he was enjoying it. That was what he did in life. And I thought, how sad. But not many times have we had anything like that. And you know what I'm like anyway. There's no need for that in this life. No need at all. You shouldn't even be criticising how I think X is better than Y. You know, and then you get into a debate about, you know, oh, well, what makes you think that? And then that gets nasty. And it can be about stupid stuff like, well, I prefer blue soap and I prefer pink. And that rattles on for ages. People, there's got to be more in life than this. There has. But some people, you wouldn't believe it.
Tracy followed your link about Smile.
Yeah.
And in the article, she was confronted with an ad showing most of her male appendage.
Ooh! I didn't get that, or I would have told you. I would have told you. Oh, my.
I saw that thing you linked, because we're using Night Show at work.
I have heard of it. I wondered if it was the one... that you mentioned.
No, I got PDF Architect, but they're very similar.
Anthony's got a good book here, another one.
Deb's the queen of PDF.
She is. She knows them all. I haven't seen that one, that John Ronson one, but I shall put that there for the future. Kim's off social media for the most part. You don't post anything anymore and you're happier now. That's one of the tests that they did. Apparently, and this is what I mean about Facebook, their lethal Facebook, they did an experiment And they didn't tell you if you were part of it. It was shocking. But in one of the experiments, they found that if you were exposed to positive things, you were happier. And if you were exposed to more negative things, you weren't. And they were doing like research on this. And I thought, well, OK, given that Facebook say that what they want is everybody happy, why don't they just bombard us with cat videos then? And panda videos and Samoyed videos and make me happy? I mean, I don't feel that I'm exposed to that much because I deliberately don't follow or engage with people who are spouting politics. I mean, that's just that politics should never be involved in social media and vice versa. So I don't, but I still see things. I saw a lot of Brexit stuff. I saw quite a bit about the American election. But what was comical with that, and it wouldn't have been quite as funny if I wasn't following both these people, and that was traditional, that I've followed them for years, that they're in the tech space. One of them was absolutely pro-Trump, and the other one was absolutely anti-Trump. And for some reason, because the algorithm's involved, I don't know whether they couldn't work out which one I wanted to see. Because that's the thing. They show you more of what you read. So it becomes an echo chamber. But I don't know whether they just couldn't work it out. But without fail, every time one of them posted, the next post was from the other person. And I'd just roll on the floor. Half the time they picked the same story and one of them had one view and one had the other. And I'd just laugh about it and say, well, I've no idea which one's right. There's probably, you know, 50% right in both. But because I'm seeing both, it's just funny. But I must admit, I did get a bit sick of all the Brexit stuff. That was a bit much. I just wouldn't talk about that kind of stuff on Twitter and Facebook. It's the wrong place to put it. Dee's the same as Kim. Find deeper things are nicer. Conversations in real life, much better than social media. A book about a topic is better than a news article and a movie is better than a 2-minute YouTube video. That's true. But we're now, oh, what did they call it in this book? The attention economy. They're not after your money anymore. They're after your attention. Because if they can get your attention, it's more valuable in terms of money because you'll buy more because you think it was your idea. And actually it wasn't. It's this attention that they've got from you. And it is. It's so true. I mean, games work in exactly the same way. But no, not for me. Not for me. Kim thinks the news media is almost as bad as the Facebook trolls. I'm in the middle of a true crime thing that I know very well. What was her name? The Wimbledon Common Girl. What was her name?
Rachel Nickell.
Rachel Nickell, that's right. This story rumbled on for years. I think it's almost 20 years ago. More than that. It's nearly 30 years ago. Because her son, who was with her, is about 29 or 30 now. So it's a long, long time ago, 91, 92, something like that. And it rumbled on because, you know, the police couldn't have got it more wrong. It was a farce. So they were talking about, this is going to be a 3-part story. So the first one was what happened. And this baby, he was 1 month off being 3, and he was with his mother, and they were walking through Wimbledon Common. And as you can probably guess, somebody attacked her. Well, actually, first thing they did was pick up the kid and throw him to the ground. So they're like lifting him over their head and threw him to the ground. So he passed out, which was just as well, because he then missed what actually happened. But the girl was dead. So as he wakes up, he sees somebody washing their hands in like a pool nearby. And then he scarpered. So the kid gets up, goes over to his mum, and obviously she's dead. And then they start trying to find out who did it. I think we're up to the point at this stage. He was the only witness. And, you know, he was a month off being 3. So he wasn't great at describing it. But they were taking him to this psychologist who was making a complete balls up of the whole thing. To the point that the dad decided to stop it. But on the way home, this kid's looking at a book and he says, "Fat man, fat man." And the dad stopped and thought, hang on. You know, he can't actually describe things, but maybe I could say to him, was this man fat or thin? Was he tall or short? Did he have dark hair or did he have blonde hair? He spent the entire night doing that. The dad, not the police. and he got a description, which he then passed on to the police. They then decided they wanted to put some flowers where this girl had died. And there were some pictures in this video of the press. Bear in mind, this kid was 2 at the time. They were jumping over fences to try and get photographs of him. They were camping outside their house. They had people jumping into the back garden to try and get a picture of this child, whose mum had just died. The father was like left totally bereft, couldn't even do his job. They ended up having to move. They moved to Spain for peace and quiet. They just never stopped, even after. No, I guess even after, because they got somebody in the frame for it and it wasn't him. But they made this guy's life a living misery for about 8 years before they realised it wasn't him. But the behaviour of the press is just obscene. I mean, a child. It's bad enough if it was the partner, the guy, because at least he was about 25. Was he a bit older? She was 22, I think. He might have been about 30. But even so, but a child, unbelievable. The press want shooting. They are worse trolls than anybody I know. I need to see what this ad looked like, Tracy. It didn't come really up on mine. I think I've got ad blocking. But that was supposed to be a proper site.
Well, change your VPN to France.
Oh dear, maybe it's a thing in France. Maybe it's not obscene in France, I don't know. Oh. Simon, if we're going to reinstitute harsh penalties for slack fact-checking, we're going to have to start at the top, aren't they, with Bongo? Would you like a job, Simon? Could you fact-check him? Oh dear, oh dear. You need to do something. But I think it's gone too far. I don't watch the news. I do look at the front of the papers, but usually just for a giggle. And other than that, you know, if I want to know what's going on, then I'll actually read a long form article about it rather than some stupid headline that is going to be a million miles away from the truth. It really is. Oh, Anthony's got a COVID denier on his timeline. Thinks it's all made up. The vaccine's poison. And posted something about wearing masks. Must have been selfish, and you were tempted to point out that you wear a mask to protect other people, but thought you can't have a sensible dialogue with people like that. No. I watched a programme, I think it was Grey's, and a guy had come in and he was, you know, fit as a fiddle. He was an athlete, and he was a denier. And Miranda was having real trouble because her mum had just died with it. And she was trying to keep her calm, and she kept leaving the room and like count to 3,000 and go back in. Anyway, he signs himself out in the end and they find him dead in the car park. So it was all true. You might as well work on the principle. It's true, mightn't you? So Kim says one of the mainstream media did a news report on a dental issue and they got it so completely wrong. The president of the National Dental Society sold his side of the interview, which you knew by the topic the president was correct, so you totally lost confidence in the news. If they can't tell the truth about dentistry, what can they tell the truth about? You'd think something like dentistry or medicine was fact-based and that you could trust them, but, you know, clearly you can't. That's exactly how we were with Eric. We were in the press conference, but there was only a handful of people in the press conference. The rest of them were reading this complete and utter garbage that had been written before the press conference even started. And the journo admitted that while he was in the press conference. Well, it's already written, but I thought I might as well come. And I just looked at Mike like, what the hell? But the way we did it was we just transcribed the entire thing. So anybody reading what we'd put on the website, it was accurate. That's exactly what he said, word for word. But this other guy, absolute idiots. Oh, Renee's got 2 people in Facebook friends list like that, and you've blocked them for 30 days. Okay, can you put them in a timeout? See, I didn't know that. I have blocked only one person on Facebook, rather than unfriend them. And I don't ever want to see anything that this person's got to say. But again, we hooked up at the beginning of Facebook because we're both in the tech space. But I would say we have a lovely phrase here. Dee's going to like this. He turned Bertie. He went a little bit strange. So he's blocked. I don't see him at all. But I shall have to look up this 30-day sin bin thing. I'm liking that. One of the problems is the scientists are so terrible at preparing summaries for the general news release, if they bother at all. They should write them in a way that can't be easily reframed into cheap sensationalist stories. The trouble is, Simon, that the so-called journalists, massive air quotes, that's what they're good at. Taking fact and turning it into something cheap and nasty. They don't write stories anymore. They don't do professional journalism anymore. Like Woodward and Bernstein, when you know, they'd got like a bit of a story, they didn't go off half-cocked with it. They went and found out the full details. Another one like that was the one that won the Oscar, Spotlight, which was about, I think it was a newspaper in Boston. And the problem there was, it's a big Catholic thing in Boston and they don't want stories negative. But this was about the child abuse thing with priests. So yeah, I'd say go for it. Absolutely expose it all. And they started off with like one tiny thing. They could have gone with that, but decided to keep digging and keep digging. That's a journalist. Not sort of, oh, I've got this half-cocked thing. Yeah, let's stick a headline on that and call it done. It's like blogging that. Very, very poor blogging. And I look at a lot of the news stories and I think, don't bother. Yeah, always remember what that press conference was like and don't bother. Whatever they say, you can guarantee that only about 10% of it was ever based on fact to start with. But, right. Renee's friend is a newsreader journalist on national radio, and you know for a fact he always checks everything 3 times before he reads it. Many years ago, I think it was the late 80s, BBC only used to start broadcasting. I think, did he start with Pebble Mill?
I think so.
About 1 o'clock. Mm. So there was no broadcast in the morning. So what they decided to do was use the time they'd got. So they'd got the breakfast time slot and they needed something to fill the morning slot. And one of the programmes was all about the BBC and broadcasting. And it was a good programme, but particularly good about the news thing. And I was watching this bit about how the news was put together. Because whenever I walked to uni or drove to uni, I'd drive past these hugely expensive houses in Holland Park. And one of the newsreaders lived there. So every morning it was like, morning. And he wasn't going to be on this programme. So I thought, I'll watch this, you know, because he's going to be on it. So I watched the whole thing. And it was amazing the work they put in. Now, like I say, this was probably 87, 88, possibly 89, but more likely 88. Only 3 years ago, Dee. And he was the newsreader, but he had to research his own stories. And the thing that got me was the absolute level of perfection. He'd sit there with a manual stopwatch and he'd actually read out each story and each segue to make so he knew the timing. And it had to be absolutely spot on because obviously, you know, they're going to pull you off air at 6:30 no matter what. And I just sat and watched and thought, wow. You know, I mean, with Mac Bites, oh, it might be. The shortest show we've ever done was
6 minutes.
6 minutes if it was Mike and I, 2.5 minutes if it was Siri and Lady Siri. And the longest, probably nearly 3 hours. And we're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's as long as it's going to be. We don't actually say you've got 60 minutes and that's it. You've got to get it all in there. Because some weeks there's a lot of news and some weeks that there aren't. We can afford to be flexible. But to watch these people have to get everything into 30 minutes and be ruthless with it, I was impressed. And it happened to me yesterday, didn't it? With my essay. I thought, I'll just throw a few things down for the essay. So it was about screencasting yesterday. So I throws down what I think's, yeah, that'll be about right. And it started off in a mind map and then it went into a text editor. And I got it into the text editor and it said 600 words. And I looked at it and said, pardon, I'm only supposed to be making 250. And I looked at it and I said to Mike, I can't delete anything from that. That's it. But I had no choice. I had to. And it was like, well, that'll have to go. So what I decided to do was, right, well, we'll do that because, you know, these have got to be 250 words. But I'll keep the long one, which I was actually intending to add to, and I'll put that on the blog later rather than lose it. But it does show you really do have to be ruthless, but honest with it. You know, don't make the fact you've got to fit it into a smaller time frame mean that you don't show the other side or something. So he took it particularly seriously. But wow. Right, let's have a look. Now it's scrolling the wrong bit, crying out loud. Wow. You learned he's got a condition where he can't recognise faces, not even his husband or mother. Whoa. That must be so difficult. Face blind. Oh, there's a word. I'm not even gonna check that. I guess what you could do, it'd be a bit like that film, wouldn't it? Memento. Well, you know, every day he woke up and he had no idea and he had to read his tattoos. I guess you'd kind of have to put down, have like a photo and a name with it. But whoa, that is difficult to live with, isn't it? You also think the creator of Firefox is unable to picture things. He always thought it was just a figure of speech to picture something, but then realised others have a mind's eye and he just can't see anything if he closes his eyes and thinks of it. Wow. I wonder if you could learn something like that. No, not turned birdie. Bertie. B-E-R-T-Y. Bertie.
Don't search Urban Dictionary for Bertie.
Don't search Urban Dictionary, full stop, Mike. Leave it there. I'm not going anywhere near it. I don't know where that saying came from. And Mike's obviously tried looking it up, but don't bother. Oh, 39 degrees. What does Izzy say it is today? Let's have a look at Izzy. It is warm today, it is. I ain't going to need my glasses to see Izzy. Izzy's temperature's quiet. All right, let's have a look. We are at 32, which is 90. But that's in the office with the fan off. Be nice to close the window, you know, to get some peace from the ambulances, but that's not going to happen, is it? Night, Simon. Kiva doesn't get a walk in the afternoon. Oh, no. Lola went for two walks yesterday. And, you know, it's Sunday, so there were longer walks. What was she like last night?
A little bit tired.
I can't possibly stand up for that treat. You're going to have to hand it to me, father. And he did. And today he said, go on. And they threw a biscuit. And she just looked and rolled over and sat on it. So Daddy had to extricate it and stroke her. Oh, what was she like when she nodded off as well? She was that far gone, you could have done anything. She was upside down, like into Mike's shoulder, leaning against Mike. And then I came in and was rubbing her tummy and letting us do anything we wanted. It'd been a good time for a serious grooming, wouldn't it? Only we wouldn't do that to her, not while she's half dozed. He keeps a library with photos and names. I don't have a problem with pickies and stuff, but, you know, as you get older, and I'm not going to say that you're, like, going downhill mentally. I don't think it's that. I think you've got more to organise in your head. So I remember applying to university, 1983, I think it was, for when I left college in 1985. And you got a little book from the University Central Admissions Council, UCA, great name, UCA. And it said, like, get a file and put all the things in it. I thought, don't be ridiculous, I'm not stupid, I'll find stuff. But honestly, within 3 weeks of putting your applications in, you were getting letters every other day. Because you put down five universities and all of them were writing to you. And UCA were writing to you with more than one letter. And before you knew it, you were bombarded. Well, if you know, take that on a few years, you've got a lot to remember. More to remember than you did when you were 16 or 20. So I guess it's a matter of putting some like organisation with it and making notes, which is what I do in Rome. I stumbled across, I was going to talk about something and I knew I couldn't talk about it until I'd got my head back where it was when I was in the zone trying to make this thing work. And I thought, oh, no, you know, I'm going to have to start again. But actually, no, because I went back to Rome and I noted it contemporaneous with doing it. Another thing was some code that was working, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes.
So I thought, I'll go to the other code block and I'll fix that code block. That one's not working. When I went back to the one that was working, that's not actually working. It's got the most insidious problem. It works the second time, but not the first. So you've got to run it twice, basically, to make it work. But the code's identical. So bad words were said. And to get back in the zone and fix it, I need to know information that right now is in my head. But ask me in 2 days, and I'll be like, I can't remember what I did. And I don't think you're going downhill. Like I say, I just think you've got that much to remember and deal with that certain things get missed. So the better that you, that hence the second brain course. I'm at an age where I need a second brain. And luckily I went on the course, so I've got one. But I need it. I definitely need it. Right. Let's have a look. Yes, Bertie Kim. Turning Bertie. I don't know where that came from. It could be a Manchester saying or it could be a UK one. I don't know. But don't touch the Urban Dictionary.
Depends how you spell Bertie.
Does it?
Yes, apparently the one that D has found is fairly tame.
It'll be that one then.
But if you spell it I-E at the end and not Y, it has a whole different meaning.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. To us, it just means going strange. So we had a friend who listened to Matt Bites, loved it, wrote in week after week after week. And that was his job as well. He worked on Mac hardware. And one week he just said, you know, I'm not interested in Apple anymore. And I'm like, pardon, it's your job. That's what you do. He went Android. Never heard from him again, did we?
No.
Now that to me is turning Bertie. You know what you did. Oh, I know where it came from. Turning Bertie. It was an advert for All Sorts.
Oh.
You know, Bertie, the All Sorts man, it came from an advert. I will dig this out later, but it came from an advert about turning Bertie. And what it meant then was you got like people on a train and they'd like put their hand in some sweets. And as they took the sweets, they turned into Bertie, the All Sorts man. So turning Bertie, changing from what you are to something else. And this guy did. And he's still Android now. Won't have a bar of Apple. Never explained why. Never explained what his issue was. He just turned strange.
See, I told you, Dee. I've been there, so you didn't have to.
Oh, no, Dee. No, that's not what it means. That's not where it came from. No, no, no.
Tracy saw a Sammy in front who was off the lead and carrying a ball.
Oh, wow.
And perfectly obedient.
I'm loving that. Tempted to ask if it was a crossbreed. Lola can be good, can't she, if she wants to be.
Yeah.
Mayo was a different case entirely. He was just the way he was and we wouldn't have changed him. But, oh, good grief. No, tame wasn't the word. He was just playful. He was really playful. Never didn't have a smile on his face. Right to the end, he didn't. No matter how much pain he was in. You know, if you walked into a room, he would be there grinning at you. Oh, he was. But while he enjoyed his house, he couldn't wait to get out of it. So you couldn't leave a door open or he'd be off. Definitely.
Oh, it's a waste of time, isn't it?
What?
Telling him not to go to Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, because you can't help it, can you?
It's like telling a child not to put the finger in a plug.
Oh, you are bad, bad people. You're going to get spanked. Oh, dear, dear me.
Well, at least you know what Bertie is.
Now you know what, but well, I do, but that's not what it means to me.
So not you, them.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But now you know the real meaning, our meaning. This is flying all over the place here. Right, so from D, the alcoholic demon that possessed Rebecca when she drinks too much, the alter ego gives no... Bertie will dance, laugh, talk to strangers, mate. Oh, dear. No, not that either. Let me see it. It must be on YouTube, mustn't it? Everything video related, no matter how obscure, is on YouTube. Right, so let's have a look for... I think it was Turning Bertie. We'll see. There you go. I wasn't lying. 13 years ago. Bassett's All Sorts. Turning Bertie. Right, let me get the link. You'll all know that I am not lying and I am not doing the Urban Dictionary thing. Let's have a look at it. I think he did turn Bertie. God, the quality is shocking. But there it is. Yeah, that's Julie Pease good, isn't it? The actress. She was in that thing your dad was in.
Brookie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the ad. Yeah. Everybody who eats it turns Bertie. I.e. the guy, the character on the packet. And these two are in the house. And then, of course, she's had one and she's turned Bertie. You see? No, Dee, I wasn't, honestly. I did not go to it. Well, I did go to Urban Dictionary once and I was traumatised. That much is true. I totally agree with you. That much is completely true. But no, I did not make that phrase up. There you go. Thank God I remembered where it came from. That was the ad. It's shocking quality, isn't it? It really is poor quality. No, I wouldn't corrupt anybody else. I wouldn't, honestly. There must be different versions of the Urban Dictionary. In fact, there should be. Can you imagine a child looking something up? Mm. A parent saying, go and look it up in a dictionary. And the kid thinks, fair enough, Urban Dictionary. Harm could come to a child that way. Anyway, we're going to head off because I've got to pare this essay down. In fact, today's is 254 words. I've just got to make sure that they're the right words. I can't believe I remembered it either, Kim. I'm just thinking, where would that have come from? And I remember my mum used to say it a lot. And she did not know about the Urban Dictionary, thank God. Oh, could you imagine, Mike, if she'd have known? Because what would have happened if she'd have known, Dad would have known, and Dad wouldn't have been able to leave it alone. And he'd have been regaling her with tales of what was in it. And she would probably have done him bodily harm. There would have been more than bad words said, trust me on that one. But we're going to head off. So for the moment, it's good night from me.
And good night from
me. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.